In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
That's the worst thing about being dead, when you don't even know you're dead. When you think everything's quite all right. The life I'm leading is just fine. I'm a little better than the people around the corner. And the reality is, he was dead in sin. Completely dead. Didn't even know it. St. Paul on the road to Damascus had no idea that he was dead. He thought he was doing the right thing. He was so misled that murder meant nothing to him for the sake of the law. You see, didn't know he was dead. I'm going to tell you, people in the bar room tonight, most of them don't even know they're dead. Some do. That's why they drink. People that are shooting up tonight, they don't even know that they're dead. Oh, this is just recreational. They don't try. Yeah, play around with the devil. You want to know what? You're not going to be around a long time because he'll chew you up and spit you out. Oh, yeah, this is, you know, you don't play with the devil. I'm going to tell you, you don't play cards with the devil. You turn your back on him. You keep him under your feet. You don't play around with them when you sin, because you want to know what? He wants you. He wants you. Even though you've been grasped by the hand of Jesus, and no one can grasp him out of his hand, no one can grasp us out of Christ's hand, we can freely walk away if we enter into a life of sin. A life of sin. That's why we need mothers praying for us. Spiritual mothers praying for us. Fathers praying for us. Spiritual fathers praying for us. We need that. Because it's easy to do the wrong thing. It's easy to do the wrong thing. It's so much easier to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing. Take, for instance, today, as people stood by the abortion mill, women went in there to have their children destroyed and their lives destroyed unless they come to know Jesus and his forgiveness. It was so easy, so they thought. So they thought. It was so easy, so they thought. And as they walked into that abortion mill, oh, they thought, this is my easy answer. That's what they thought. But as they walked out of that abortion mill, they were told by the devil himself that they killed their child. That's not easy. It seemed easy, but it's not easy. What seemed to be the easy way out, if she had carried the child, would have been a blessing. But you see, the world lies to us. Obama is not only for abortion, but for infanticide. That's real. When does life begin, they asked him. He says, that's beyond my paycheck or my pay salary or whatever they say. He's a liar because the science books say that life begins at conception. That's what the science books say. That's not the theology books. The science books say life begins. You see, but he's a liar. He wants to gain votes. Well, let him gain votes. But I know he's a liar. My God, my God, my God. Whether he's elected president or not, people need to pray for him because he's lost. He's lost. He's lost. The poor man. Augustine not only becomes a Christian, but Augustine becomes a bishop. Isn't it wonderful what the prayers of a mother can do? That he is the bishop of Hippo, a great, great see in Africa. Isn't it wonderful what prayer can do? But you want to know what? If you go there today, it's no great see anymore. It's a Muslim place. In the book of Revelation, the Lord says, if you don't repent, I'm going to blow your light out. And so the Muslims have crept in. The Muslims have crept in. And they populate the great area of Hippo. Not the Christians anymore. It's the Muslims. Why? Because politics entered into the church as a cancer. As a cancer. As a cancer. Rather than the tending of the sheep and the tending of God's holy people. My Lord. See, you never, never, never can stand erect thinking, oh, everything is fine. Everything's all right. Everything's just wonderful. Because you know what? Temptation comes to everybody. And if it doesn't come to me, it'll come to the generation after me. If I'm able to resist it, the next generation will be presented with the same temptation, but stronger to give in to it. That's why we need intercessors. That's why we need intercessors that will be before the throne of God, constantly entreating the Lord, constantly praying that God would move in us. We need that. We need that. Several months ago, I think Lyda and Tom passed down a paper that when I go away to preach, that people would hold me up in prayer. I don't know if that continues. But I'm going to tell you, I don't only need it when I go away in prayer or go away to preach. I need it every single day. Because I'm on the front lines. I'm in the middle of the battle. I'm not watching from behind the curtains. I'm on the stage. For whatever reason, I'm there. You need to support people who pray. You need to support people who preach. You need to support people who do the will of God. You need to support and you need to receive from them so that you can go out and do the same thing. You need to support people. Because I'm going to tell you, no life is easy. If people who are single think the married life is easy, they're out of their minds. If people who are married think that the single life is better and easy, they're out of their minds. No life is easy. Every life carries a cross. And how we bear the cross is what makes the difference. No life is easy. No life. It's hard enough to live in your own body, never mind to have another person with you. You can't even agree with yourself sometimes. Never mind having somebody else. It's the way it is. I'm not saying there are not benefits. Of course there are. But I'm just saying, you know, when people dream of the easy life, they're out of their minds. There is
no easy life. Believe me, there is no easy life. We fantasize, if I had this, this would be. If I had that, yeah, give me a break. You're still carrying yourself into the situation. And this Augustine became not only bishop, but a father of the Western Church. A father who wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote about the problems of the day and how the answer alone was Jesus Christ. Whether he was dealing with the Pelagians, and they were the people that thought you really didn't need salvation, you can just pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you didn't need Jesus. He comes against them. Yeah, we have lots of Pelagians. I tell you, in the church, there are lots of Pelagians. It's a big heresy. They're the self-made people. You know, we don't need God. Oh, no. And we can all be Pelagian. I'm going to tell you, you know how? By just thinking, you know, I know how to do that. I don't need help. I remember when I was a kid studying for a test. I remember. And I would go to the Lord and I would ask for his help because it took me a long time to study. And then after I did well in the grade, the thought came to me, you would have done well anyway without praying. And I would dismiss it as a lie. But it was a temptation. It was a temptation. I would always ask the Lord, you know, help me to study the right stuff. Especially when there was too much stuff to study. And then when the grade came back and it was excellent, you'd think, look what I did. I didn't really need help. I would dismiss it because I knew it was a lie. It's Pelagian. You could do it yourself. You just try hard enough and it's all going to work out. I'm going to tell you, no, it doesn't all work out unless you're blessed. I know people have tried hard and hard and harder. You know what's happened to them? They fall on their faces. Everyone who tries hard doesn't work. It doesn't always work out. Augustine wasn't trying hard. He was doing everything wrong. And yet the mercy of God was toward him because of the channel of Monica. It was Monica who was the channel from the reservoir of the river of life that flows from the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. My gosh. Where would we be without Monica? And yet the church seems to extol Augustine more than Monica. I don't think God does. Honest, I don't think God does. He might be the great doctor. But she's the woman of faith. Even when she was dying, so funny. They're on this boat from Italy. And while she's dying, Augustine says to her, because he's heartbroken, his mother is going to die. It's a terrible thing when your mother dies. But he says to her, Mother, where do you want me to bury you when you die? Do you want to be buried at home? And she looked at him and said, you've got to be kidding. This is what she said. It makes no difference where you bury me, son, as long as you remember me at the altar of God when you are celebrating the Eucharist. What year is Augustine? 331. This is what he said. It makes no difference where you bury me, she said, as long as you remember me at the altar of God when you're celebrating the Eucharist. You can see in the year 331 The church was not Protestant. And then what happens? She goes back to God. And he continues her work. The work that she laid out in prayer. This is real stuff. That's why Jesus told them that they should pray always and not grow discouraged, because prayer is so powerful. Even when it seems nothing is happening, you keep on praying. You keep on moving in. You keep on praying. Only God knows how to do what needs to do. As long as I'm praying, that's all that I need to do. I can't change anybody's life, but I can continue to entreat God. That I can do. Jesus told them a parable that they should pray always and not grow discouraged. So when you get discouraged in prayer and think that what are you wasting your time about, that very temptation is from the devil, because he doesn't want you to continue, because he knows maybe the answer is just a couple of blocks away. That's real. That's real. Just stop praying. Just quit. Just become like everybody else. You know, if the church doesn't need people like everybody, we don't need any more people like everybody else. We got enough of them. Enough people that like everybody else. We need people that are going to be different. We don't need people that only be followers. We need people going to be leaders. We're not followers. And they're following the Pied Piper over the cliff. There are enough followers that we have. We need leaders. I prophesied over a young seminarian who's a deacon. He's a deacon in Hawaii. So he stays there. I don't think he's ever been prayed over. So we prayed over him. It's one of the customs of the Hawaiian monastery, Benedictines. They're charismatic, and we start praying over this young man. And so I start prophesying. Now, I don't know this young man any more than I know the man in the moon. But I prophesy we're going something like this. For I have chosen you for the greater things, says the Lord, but you are not to be a follower, you are to be a leader. I call you to be a leader, to be in front and not in back, for you will never see the greater things unless you are a leader. I call you to be a leader and not a follower. And I went on like that. He went to the nun afterwards and said, my God, it scared the heart out of me. And she said, why? He said, because I'm a follower, I'm not a leader. Well, you know what? There'll be some changes made today. I hope that word literally churns around in his gut until he becomes what God wants him to become. We got enough followers. Enough people following and following. Someone gets a tattoo, you get a tattoo. Someone wears an earring in their right ear, you wear an earring in their right ear. Someone puts an earring on their lip, you put an earring on you. Nuts, nuts, crazy, crazy, crazy. Everybody's following. Where are the leaders? Even the leaders are followers. When they asked Obama if there was a big, big test and a big, big problem in the United States, who would you go to? Three people. The first one, my wife. The second one, my grandmother. Mom, he did. I heard it with my own ears. My grandmother.
You got to be kidding. My grandmother.
I don't remember the third one. After the grandmother, I thought I was going to just be wiped out. I couldn't stop laughing because it was real. This is like, it was like, I don't ever watch Saturday Night Live, but I think that that would have been something on Saturday Night Live that they could have milked that one for years. My grandmother. Oh yeah, she, the president of a bank, and give me a break. This is not running a corporation. This is running the United States of America. I don't think I'd go to my grandmother. I think the first one I'd go to would be God. And then I'd ask the Lord to lead me to the people that I need to go to. But you see, followers. That's not a leader. I'll tell you what a leader is. A leader will go before and even walk into the fire in order to bring those behind him safely through. There aren't many leaders honest. There are a lot of company men, not many leaders. That's one of the big problems in the United States today. Not many leaders. That's one of the big problems in the church today. Not many leaders. A leader will take the blows and take the heat. Because if you don't like the heat, then you get out of the kitchen. A leader says, the buck stops with me, not my priests. Me. Not my vice president. Me. The buck stops with me. There aren't many. There aren't many. And yet God calls you to be a leader. There are enough followers going over the brink, dying in the mire of confusion and of sin in the world that we live in. Augustine proved to be a great man of God. And I'm going to tell you, Monica's prayers didn't stop when she stopped breathing. Even as the bones of Elisha, which were in a big hole, were able to make a dead man come back to life again. If his bones had power in it, my God. The prayers of God's people in heaven. This is the crazy thing about us. We're also schizo. You know, we're also schizophrenic. You know, you talk about that the saints pray for us or with us. I don't care how you say it. Let me just tell you that Christ has one body. He has one head, and the body is in different places. Some are on earth. Some are in heaven, and some are in purgatory. That's where they are. But it's one body. It's not three bodies with one head. One body. That the body of Christ, the great cloud of witnesses in heaven, are able to help us. Why? Because they intercede with the head, just like we intercede with the head. When I pray for the sick, it's not me who's praying for the sick alone. It's Christ praying for the sick. I intercede with the head. It's Jesus who heals. See, we don't have three bodies. We're also schizo. There's only one intercessor between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. That's true. Then don't you dare pray for another person, because you're an intercessor too. With Christ. Not alone. We need intercessors, I'll tell you. We've become too highfalutin thinking we don't need intercessors. We need intercessors, and we need fasting. We don't only need prayer in these days. We need fasting and prayer because we live in perilous times. Prayer's not enough. Fasting and prayer and almsgiving. Speak mightily to the Lord. Fasting, prayer, almsgiving, money. Speak mightily to the Lord. It's not only prayer. It's fasting and giving. I see the collection coming around. I see people putting dollars in. I say, you got to be kidding. Like, you got to be kidding. A dollar's not worth 33 cents. You got to be kidding. Coming here for 4 hours and putting a buck in. Like, you got to be kidding. I keep it myself. I need it more than God. Because we haven't learned that giving opens doors into heaven. Haven't learned that.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.